to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hassa, Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.
And I'm sitting here dancing in my chair because I'm getting excited about what we're talking about here on air with our guest.
Jonathan Frizzell, founding principal of Safe Harbor Strategies. Thanks again for joining us, Jonathan. Yes. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So during the break, we were talking a little bit, and obviously the whole point of cost segregation is to, you know, accelerate the depreciation of a property. You can take more expenses up front. It's going to lower your tax burden. But what happens once you have that property fully depreciated? You've used up everything that you can use up. What's the best step then, or how do you come into that equation?
Well, oftentimes the families that I've worked with, they go ahead and do a 1031, and they do a significant step up or a significant upgrade and go ahead and relinquish that property. And then they go ahead and buy another property, and they're usually a step-up basis of anywhere from as much as at least $500,000, $1 million to as much as $10, $15, $20 million. And then you start all over again with that net excess basis of that replacement property.
Okay, so in a 1031, just our listeners, if you're not familiar with it, it's a way to basically sell an investment property, an income property. It can be a house, could be a condo, can be a commercial building. Purchase a new property and defer any capital gains on that sale, you know, into the new property. There's certain steps and
which
timelines.
Can be quite significant.
It can really make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And but to do a 1031, you've got to have typically a 1031 exchange facilitator involved
right,
in the transaction.
A qualified intermediary.
Absolutely. Because you can't touch the money. The
nope,
money
they call
when
it
you
boot.
Sell it, it's called boot. That boot's got to go to the exchange facilitator, and then it goes from them into the new purchase.
Yeah, you don't want
to scoot right,
your
boot. Jonathan?
Well, I
got that right, Jonathan?
I'm going to take you around the country with me, Eric. That's perfect.
Well, right. And if any of our listeners are curious about 1031, you can go back and research our shows because we have had qualified intermediaries on the program, and so they do a great job of explaining.
That's
all
right.
That.
We had Philip David on
yes.
from Benoche
yes.
Real Estate Exchange.
Yes.
Who's a good fella.
Yes.
So good.
Just want to make sure if you want to do other research on it, you can certainly check it out. But we were also talking during the break. Not only is the 1031, but mm-hmm. getting into the cost segregation piece again. Although I probably am going to lose it because you were the one asking the question. Maybe you need to re-ask the question.
Well, no, I think you're right on track there. So let's say I do a 1031 exchange. I fully depreciated my old property. I'm going to purchase a new one. One of the things you hit on is very key. You have to bump up. You've
right.
got to buy something more expensive, right?
That's
because
correct.
Otherwise, yeah. you're still fully depreciated.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay.
The whole point of the IRS is they want to see you take out more loans.
Well, we don't mind.
Yeah,
as
well,
bankers,
the banks want
we're
you to.
Totally fine with that.
Yep.
Yeah. So how does that work then? So then, you, Jonathan, you'll go and look at the new property, but can you still look at the old property as well, or the one that you're giving up?
Actually, you can at this point because with the Tax Reform Act, you used to be able to. But at this point in time, it's better just to focus on the replacement property than the net excess basis. And regardless of what type of property it is, there's going to be value. You need at least $400,000 or $500,000 of the net excess basis on the replacement property for it to make sense to take a look at it.
Okay, so $400,000 or $500,000 in new value. Do
Step
I have that right on the property that you're purchasing? And at that point, then you're going to go in and look at it, do a cost segregation analysis.
You betcha.
And try and see if there's a way that you can kind of break up that asset into shorter depreciation periods.
That's correct. What I'm going to do is rely on my own personal historical reference, the last 12 years, as well as my company,
mm-hmm.
and we, depending on what type of product type it is. And then I'll go ahead and give something that the client can count on that's going to be relatively conservative. And I'll offer a low and a high, low and a high estimate as well to give them a range. That way that their family can count on something.
Got it. Are most CPAs familiar with this strategy? I can think of some that I know where their heads would just explode.
Well, it's interesting. I've done a lot of CPE, national CPE courses over the years, and they know about it, but I don't know how much they bring it to their clients. I have worked
CPE is a certified professional.
Yeah, credit. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Absolutely. It's just like real estate agents. We have to go and get continuing education, that kind of thing.
Thanks for that clarification. Yeah. Okay. You bet. But I have a lot of CPA clients that I work with, and it's all about bringing value to their book of business.
Sure.
I always remind them in a friendly way that it's always their client. It's never my client, even if I put $1 million in their pocket, and it works out great in that relationship. So I work with all trusted advisors, CPAs, tax attorneys. I work a boatload of CCIMs, real estate brokers.
Right. Really certified commercial kind of investment provider. Member that's, is a very special designation, very high designation within
any,
real estate.
Any provider of the commercial property owner Jonathan works with, for sure.
Right.
Excellent.
So how would somebody know if their CPA is down with this? I mean, like, is there like some kind of questions that are worth putting forward to see if they're into it? Because I'll tell you, I have had a couple conversations with CPAs recently. And had one tell me, no, we don't do that because, one, we just haven't seen that it's been that useful, and, two, we don't have the engineers behind us to do it.
Right. That's interesting. We warranty all our work, by the way. So,
oh, great.
And part of my personal success is I make it a turnkey application for the CPA, the tax professional, the controller, the CFO. So one of the common myths are is that it's a bunch of work for everybody. And the truth of the matter is all the burden and work is on myself and my team. And the answer to your question is, and unless the client has not picked up a big tax refund or hasn't paid any taxes in one particular year, the chances are they haven't done it. I know for certainty that I would suggest a maximum no more than, it depends on what part of the country and certain markets, but if you look at the total properties out there, I wouldn't say a maximum no more than 10%. Or even doing cost seg. And for whatever reason.
Only 10% are doing it?
10%. Yeah, at maximum. Wow. Maybe 11, 10%.
And do you think it's just because people don't know about it?
Well, one thing I was, when I was presenting at Washington CCIM chapter that, right in the middle of a couple hundred brokers, he says, Jonathan, the truth of the matter is, you know, us CPAs, we're down on what we don't know and we're always up on what we do know. But we need people like you to shake the tree to remind us, because oftentimes not everybody can be all to all services.
I think that's true in any industry. Right. I see it in the lending side as well, where there's loan officers that there's some really cool loan programs out there. Mm-hmm. Loan officers won't touch them because they've never done them and they don't know anything about them and they don't want to take the time to learn.
Well, and frankly, I always say, when there's fear, the answer is no. So if someone doesn't know something, in fact, I was just talking about this with some of my business coaches recently, because they were like, what makes you feel powerful and what makes you feel like you have less power? And I said, well, I feel less powerful in my work and my personal life when I don't know something. And I tend to kind of want to shrink away from whatever that thing is. It's just like, you know, me buying the boat. I was terrified trying to dock that thing, but I had two very calm, knowledgeable people who walked me through it both in and out of the dock, and then it was like, I did not know this. And you know, Jonathan and I, even getting to have him on the show, I had just been at a real estate event in May where they brought in this really awesome CPA from down in California, and he brought up the 481A program, which was all about cost segregation. And then I started posting something about it. And you were like, hey, we got to talk about this. And I went, yeah, I'm so excited that we can. Let's like get you on the air. Like,
you bet. Yeah. And the 41A, just for the record, is that's when there's a look back or a catch up condition when a property's been in service for 1 year or more. And that's actually the nut or the adjustment of the catch up depreciation that you would have had if you started out with cost segregation the first year of service. And it's called a 41A adjustment.
Wow. Oh, wait. So, okay, now I'm
see, now you're even more excited, aren't you?
So I can catch up. So let's say I don't do this. I have owned the property for a year or so. I don't do this. I don't have to file an amended tax return. Actually, in the following year, do a 41A.
You could do a 3115 change of accounting method.
More number, 3115.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a little 7-8 pager. You betcha.
For crying out loud. Yeah.
And that's official. And it's automatically approved by the IRS if you fill it out right. So,
for crying out loud.
If you fill it out right. There's always the caveat. You got to don't hose it up the first time around.
So Jonathan, how did the tax reform that was just passed into law in last December affect your industry?
Well, that's a great question, Eric. We're anticipating some kind of change, but never in my lifetime did I think there, and we'll certainly explain this and define it very quickly, I never thought in my lifetime that we'd see 100% bonus depreciation on used acquisition property. You saw 100% bonus on new construction, TIs and leasehold back in 2010, I believe was the last year. And just a quick history on bonus depreciation, what the heck is that? It goes back to 9/11 with 2001 with President Bush in Congress, try to uptick the economy. And bonus is defined as 20 years or less of depreciable life. So literally bonus depreciation is basically the benefit of the Cossack study itself, which is 5, possibly 7, which is the personal side,
okay,
and the 15-year land improvements. So very, very powerful. And so anything after 9/27 of last year, meaning September 28th, 2017, going forward, is subject to 100% bonus. And I can't tell you how powerful that is. And basically, in the old days, cost segregation and new acquisition, without bonus, you get it in the first, most 99% of the benefit was in the first 5 years of service. Now you get that benefit all in the first year, and
huge
then
difference.
Of course they can carry those losses forward. And of course you both are qualified real estate professionals, so get to take those unlimited losses.
So can you explain that? Because let's say we've got a typical homeowner and they purchase a rental property,
okay,
and so they are not technically categorized as a real estate professional.
Correct.
So if they incur a loss on that property, when they fill out their Schedule E on their tax return, they're not allowed to use that loss to offset their regular income.
With the risk of sounding like an attorney, it depends.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And they certainly can't passive losses versus passive gains, and we certainly don't have time for that today. But but I will say that I work with a lot of passive investors as well as facilitators that are active. And it seems like it works for the entire family investors, whether they're active or passive.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Can I get, before we have to get to a break too, can you just quickly define, if possible, and if we can't, we'll go into the next segment. You said a used acquisition property. I want to make sure our listeners understand some of the terminology. And I think we're about to actually have to go into the
break.
Yeah,
we might just have to come back to that
right
after the break.
So I'm going to tell you what I want you to think about when we come in.
Right.
Land improvements with that and used acquisition property. But we're going to be talking about more of this with Jonathan Frizzell of Safe Harbor Strategies, LLC, when we get back at Open House with Team REMA in a moment.
Open House with Team REMA on AM 1590. The Answer.